Blog Talk Radio.
Definitely, when you think about the fact that we already have had our first African-American president, I think this is really an era of progression in American politics, and we could set the stage for really set an example for the rest of the world. If we have our first African-American president and then immediately follow that with our first woman president, that would just be amazing.
I think it would be really interesting to have yet another legacy of, like, continuing the Clintons. Like, we've had multiple Bushes, like, having another Clinton, like, having just that continued legacy seems kind of weird. But, I mean, Hillary is an amazing woman. She's done so much. And the idea of having a woman as president is really exciting.
Make it through the damn weekend, but who knows? We still have 944 days, 4 hours, 56 minutes, and 14 seconds left of this godforsaken Obama nightmare. What the hell did we do? Why did we do this? I'm still asking that question. I'm still asking what the hell we voted for Clinton for. What the hell was that about? I figured it was going to be, you know, easy. I figured it was going to be, you know. And then it started getting more and more, and then that stupid, what the hell's his name? I got $25 billion. Shut up. Ross Perot, that's the nitwit. Shut up. Ross Perot. What the hell was that? Shut up. That was Bill Clinton. I wouldn't be a bit surprised if the Clinton didn't make damn sure if they didn't skate some of their money and put over there. They didn't bring supporters over there. The vote for him, basically a vote for Ross Perot was a vote for Bill Clinton. He won by what? He got what? 41%, 42%, 43%, whatever. He never got 50% of the vote. whatever, people like him. I didn't. Never did. And his wife, Hillary, can't stand them both. We don't need any more of those people in our government. I mean, there's actually two kinds of revolutions going on. You do have two revolutions going on. And not only that, you've got a whole bunch of revolutions going on all over the world that are gaining strength all over the world. So we've got that. I mean, granted, yeah, this president does got a lot on his plate. However, the overwhelming vast majority of it he created, if not every single thing, every single crisis. Well, I guess you could put down, I guess you could. I know that's a little extreme. Well, you can't blame him for everything. Well, I mean, he is guilty of a lot of stuff. I know of, you know, a whole bunch of things that he did that most people would have to go to jail if they were caught. But in this case, well, no, we just, you know, we fry the hard drive. That'll do it. We declare this with my magic pen, or I decree this with my magic pen. There's no we about it. He's a meme. Meme, 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 shut up. Unbelievable. How anybody works in that administration? Seriously. Seriously. How does anybody work in that administration and then feel proud of the job that they have done and that they agreed with? How can you do that? How can you sit by, I can't do that? I guess maybe it's, I don't know, maybe it's just me, but stuff like that, I don't think that's probably why I don't, I'm not in politics. I couldn't put up with it. I couldn't be bought. I wouldn't want to be bought. Don't buy my vote. Give me your vote. It's for free. You go into the voting booth, it's for free. You know, if you got to get this passed and that passed, and they cram all this crap into... No, 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 no. And first of all, Congress should not work as much as they do. The more they're in Washington, the more damage they cause. Or should I say create. That's why they spend so much time in there. Takes a lot of energy, a lot of time, you know. Creating disasters, like destroying an entire country, a free country, one that used to have a constitution. The government hasn't confiscated this one yet. I'm not going to let them have it. This is mine. There are many like it, but this one is mine. This one is ours. Everybody. Yours. Mine. His. Hers. Them, us. Are you a citizen of the United States of America? Well, yes, I am. Okay, good. This document is for you. Oh, you're in law enforcement, you say, do you now? All right. Well, look, we got a prize for you. Here it is. This is called the United States Constitution. This one is for you. Oh, you're in the government now, are you? All righty, guess what? Step on down. Look at this. We have a brand new, spanking brand new, right off the presses, United States Constitution. This is for you. Everybody has to follow it, which means that you may hate this particular speech, but it is free speech. So shut up. Ah, God almighty, I digress all over the place. Where did we haven't even started yet. Unbelievable. Oh, my God almighty, in sweet blue heaven. It was a nice day, though. I do have to say that. It's Friday. I kind of feel, you know, pretty good. had a cup of coffee. I might get a little ornery. That's all right. That's what we need. We need a little fire, man. Sick and tired of people. Oh, you're getting excited. Am I? Really? Oh, okay. All the stuff that's going on in this country, just this country. Forget about what's going on in the world. What's going on right in your own neighborhood? How about that? How about your own house? What's going on in your own life? That's where it starts, man. That's where freedom starts. Within you. If you don't have it in your mind, you don't feel it in your heart. Nobody else does. Well, then guess what? You're not going to get it. Until it's too late. Then you're like, damn. Honey, did you see the freedoms? I can't find them nowhere. Honey, what'd you do with them? Well, we packed them away, you know, after Christmas. We thought maybe they were Christmas decorations, and we put them in there. You put anything in a Christmas decoration box, forget it. That's worse than the sock monster. Forget about it. Unbelievable. My mother used to make us go downstairs for hours picking up boxes left, I mean, everywhere. We had everything in the house that was down in the basement. Unbelievable. And you can never find it. She always missed some stupid cockamamie ornament or some kind of something. Yeah, I'm telling you. But it's okay to go out and fight, but it's not okay to go out there and criticize somebody that's standing up. Okay, maybe that's not your way. But it is theirs. You got to support them. Look, we all got to support each other here. I mean, this is a collective effort. I mean, you know, freedom is a team sport here. That's all I'm saying. I mean, if, you know, you got one person out of what? How many millions do we have? 325, and then how many illegal aliens? I don't know, 425 million? Jesus Christmas. I mean, and we're paying for this. The taxpayers are paying to make sure these people get from Guatemala and Honduras and El Salvador, advertising on the TV over there and the newspapers, and they're over there and the embassies telling the politicians, oh yeah, go ahead and tell your people. Now, why would you do that? And why would somebody, first of all, somebody came over here, yeah, tell all you people to come over here for free, and knowing full well that it's not going to be what they think it's going to be. And now these children. Now this is what I don't understand. Why would you, as a parent, across the border for however long, we don't know, and leave your children behind in what you would consider what they are all claiming now is such a violent and terrible place, which I'm sure that it probably is. There's a lot of violence there. I'm not saying that there isn't, but what I'm saying, claiming they got all this violence over there. So why would these people, why would you, knowing full well that you have all this violence, all this war and bloodshed and bombs and bullets flying everywhere, everybody shooting everybody, buildings are blowing up and collapsing around you, why would you leave? Go truck it, 1,500 miles? I don't know, a couple thousand miles, whatever. And then however long you spend there, and then you get your children. What do your children do? Who's minding your children? Well, I mean, their cartels. I mean, who's minding their children? And why didn't the parents get caught and sent back? So our government is trucking these kids, your tax dollars, every time your paycheck gets smaller and smaller. Well, guess what? It's going down there to Honduras and El Salvador, Guatemala, What's going to Al-Qaeda? Muslim Brotherhood? It's going to all of our enemies. This giving money to countries, this has got to stop. And if we are going to give money to countries, well, we need a lot in return. We need our bang for our buck. You know what I mean? We want that dollar earned. If we're going to spend it, we want to get something for it. But what are we getting for it? What? This is what I don't understand. And this to me, this is another reason why I probably would not make it as a member of Congress, but I would love to be in Congress. Any bill that comes across my desk, any bill that comes across any politician's desk must first ask the question, does this benefit either my constituents? Does it benefit the city, the this, the that, whatever you got to decide on? Does it benefit them? Does it benefit the country? Does it benefit the American people? Oh, it doesn't? Oh, okay, well then here. This is garbage. Then take this out. This is rubbish. It's filth. I don't want it. Throw it underfoot and kick it away. And that's the question that needs to be asked. And that's the question. This is what we must demand as citizens. We must demand that our leaders do that. How does this benefit the American people? Well, if we're giving money to Saudi Arabia, for instance, they're kind of rich. They don't need American money. How many people do we have out of work now? What is it, 92.5, 92, 93 million, whatever the stupid number is? It's too damn many. And so we've got, instead of giving money to people that need it, like, say, I don't know, maybe a veteran, maybe you could find a doctor with some of that Saudi money that's going into hands of God knows where this money is going. This president is how many weapons has he allowed or facilitated? Or wink, nod, nod. Yeah. Here's 400 surface air missiles. Here's our embassy. Ah, here's a box of matches too. Have fun, boys. No. This right here is the heart of Benghazi, for me. This is the heart of this. You call it a scandal. You can call it this. You can call it that. I call it a crime. But that's me. The very moment that this president heard the news that his embassy was on fire, the ambassador has gone missing, the place is under attack, we've got mortar fire, we got machine guns, we got all kinds of stuff. His initial response, anybody, I don't care who you are, any responsible president, I'm pretty sure even Jimmy Carter would have hightailed it straight down to the damn Situation Room. Pretty sure. Maybe he needed to have a private conversation with somebody before he goes down there. I can maybe understand that. He might want to talk to one of the generals or this or that or something. But I'm sure there's probably other people in there too. I can understand that. I don't have a problem with that. But in a reasonable time from getting the news that your embassy was under fire, it was being attacked, God only knows where the ambassador is. Anybody seen the ambassador? Anybody see Chris? Hey, Chris, are you there? Oh, there he is. He's got a cattle prod up his ass. And this guy goes up and eats. No. You have to work. You have to send planes in the air filled with all kinds of troops and bombs. That's what you got to do. I mean, anybody, that's the first response that you would take, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you? I would. That would be my first response. So maybe I'm just speaking out of me. I don't know. But I'm pretty sure that there's going to be a lot of people that would say, you know what? Upon hearing the news that our embassy is on fire, the ambassador's gone missing. You can't find him anywhere. Got mortar fire, got machine gun fire. That is American soil. That's an act of war. Hello? I mean, am I wrong? How can I be wrong at this? You attack American soil. Isn't that an act of war? Whether it's a terrorist or a uniformed army? But we knew who it was. I mean, who else would it be? You're in Benghazi, Libya. Who else would it be? A bunch of teenagers drinking whiskey, huh? Getting themselves all liquored up. The redneck Arabs pulling in on their pickup trucks with a deer head on the hood, huh? It's an act of frickin' war. And this guy wants to go up and eat. No, you go straight. And Valerie, here's what you do, Valerie. Here's what you do. If you do come in, well, you come in when I need you, and you're going to sit there and take notes. And if I ask you a question, I want you to give me the answer, but you don't voluntarily speak. Now, let's get our asses down to that situation room here. We need planes in the air. We need troops on the ground. We need bombs exploding. We need to find our ambassador. We need to figure out what the hell's going on, and we need to start whooping somebody's ass. We need a lot of body bags, too. Put that on the list. If we're going to win this damn thing, we got to get serious. I mean, I'm not saying that the troops ain't serious. I'm not saying that. Relax. I'm talking within the government and within the public. The troopers can only do so much, but I'm sorry. But it does take leadership in the government, and it does take the public support. It is a team effort all the way. Yes, I do understand the troopers are out there doing all the dirty work. They're digging the ditches. They're getting dirty. They're getting shot at. We understand it. I get it. But we need it from the home front. We need it from the leadership and the government as well. We can't expect the troops to just go out there and just do our bidding. Don't just go out there and win the war. Don't bother me. Just go win the war. No. No. It don't work that way. It does not work that way. And I'm not saying that America does. I'm not saying that our troops don't have American support. I'm not saying that. What I am saying, though, America, and me included, are we, and I'm pretty sure a lot of troopers, I think America overall is done with war. We don't want it. We're tired of it. So if we want to end it, if we really, 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 really want to end this war, then we need to end it. And it's going to start with everybody at once. Everybody's going to have to be included, all hands on deck. But we're also going to need the world involved in this, too. Now, people keep saying this battle, well, it's in Iraq, let them fight their civil war. Well, you got to understand something. These kinds of people, and when I say these kinds of people, I'm talking this radical jihad, whatever the hell you want to call it, radical Islam. I mean, there's so many damn names. Whatever you call it. You can pick your own stupid name or whatever the hell you want to call anybody or anything or any group or anything you want. Terrorists, that works. Whatever the hell you want to call these African people. Well, they're in the United States. They're here. We've seen it. Not for nothing, but 9/11 was from people that were here. They managed, they had ID. I wonder if they voted. Look, this has been a government problem for a long time of letting people into this country. Now, I don't have a problem with allowing people to come in, and you know what I mean? I mean, I'm not saying we got to put up a frickin' Berlin Wall kind of a deal, the Great Wall of America. No. No. But we have to have a little bit more, we need to be a little bit more responsible. Maybe a little bit more picky and choosy. The laws that we do have, we also need to follow them. The government, this president. Now, again, another violation. I mean, you can go up and down this entire Constitution of how many violations. I don't think this man has followed one applicable line to him, which is all of them. I don't think he's followed one of them. I don't think he's followed anything. This is a constitutional scholar, a professor, he claims. He taught constitutional law. How do you teach constitutional law? I want to know how you become a teacher so quick, a professor, when you had one day in court and, well, your display was to the point where the judge exploded, ripped you a new one. Acorn said, Mr. Obama, no, 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 no. We can't use you in the courtroom anymore. Here's an idea. Why don't you go down to the unemployment office and see if they have any community organizer positions open? And this is our president. He was not a professor. He was not a professor. One day in court? How can you be a professor? Oh, that's right. He was a head of the Harvard Law Review. Or should we say the Harvard Communist Review? I don't give a damn about your stupid Harvard. Harvard Schmarvard. I'm so sick and tired of hearing that, Harvard, Harvard, Harvard. Oh, just because you went to a particular college, that means you're something special. No, you're not. That has nothing to do with what makes you special. You went to some stupid school? Huh? What do you do with your superness? That's what makes you super. What do you do? Well, I'm a community organizer. Oh, yeah? What does that do? Well, I go out and I fun. I like it. All right. Let's start getting into something here today. God almighty. I don't know how the hell we drifted off, but we do. That happens. Catch a freak wave and boom, you're gone, man. That's the way it is. That's all right. But I tried today, and I got some clips here today of this contentious hearing on the Hill. Again, with the hearings, and this guy, this Koskinen. This, I'm not even, oh my Lord. I wanted to just right through that television screen, man. I just wanted to reach through there. I wanted to grab him by the throat, and I wanted to slap every ounce of that smugness, that condescension, just bam, just smack it out of him. Unbelievable the amount of just disdain and disrespect. And just, I mean, just the way that they treat. I mean, these are more than scandals. And the way they treat it, as if, you know, they're the innocent little schoolboy. I didn't do anything. No. Look at me. Yeah, we're looking at you. You committed crimes. I don't know what the hell this guy is even up there for anyway. I mean, he was making it was fun for him. He was having fun with it. He's a smart ass. And no apologies. Refuses to apologize. Really? Okay. Well, maybe when the Republicans get into office, they can do that to you. And then we will not apologize. See, this is what this kind of stuff brings. Well, they did it, so we get to do it too. Bush did it. Bush did it. Bush did it. Clinton did it. Reagan did it. Carter did it. What the hell difference does it make who did it? Stop doing it. I don't give a damn who did it before. I'm sick and tired of hearing what Bush did, what Reagan did, what that did. We got to start about what we're doing now. What are we doing now? What are we doing now? I don't know. But whatever it is, I don't like it. I want to go back where, you know, you didn't have to worry about this stuff. That will never be anymore. We're in a different world. We're in a different time. There are a lot of revolutions going on here. There are two mindsets in this country. You've got stupid and you've got intelligent. That's what you got. And now the two, and both of them think the other one's stupid. They're the most intelligent one. Well, none of us are intelligent. Look what we keep doing. Why did we allow ourselves to get into this mess? Well, again, we got lazy. We had Reagan. We had a Constitution. We had our freedom. Had our 4th of July and Veterans Day picnics. All the veterans executives at the VA, oh, they got all their bonuses. Meanwhile, you still can't find a doctor for them vets. Anybody seen a doctor? I got a vet here who needs a doctor in the house. They're still without doctors. This is unbelievable. I don't want to hear any more speeches from anybody. No more frickin' speeches, no more tweets, no more statements, and nothing more from any more of these damn spins people. I don't want to hear from somebody else. I want to hear you speak. I don't want to hear you have somebody else speak for you. That's not you speaking. You want to be a leader, Mr. President. You're going to have to actually address this stuff. But see, you're guilty of so many crimes with it. That's why you can't. Otherwise, you're going to implicate yourself and you might have to go to prison. And you're trying to stretch this out as long as you can and keep them impeachment hearings from going through so you can still collect your pension and get all your national, all your security, costing the taxpayers even more money. I mean, he's going to cost him millions of dollars. Taxpayers are going to have to pay for him forever. You don't deserve a pension for what you've done, Mr. President. I'm sorry, but no. The answer is clearly no. I know Trey Gowdy wants to get to the bottom of this Benghazi, which, okay, we all do. However, what is this hearing going to do? And now we're being told it won't even begin until September. Oh, well, we got to hire a bunch of people and investigators, and then we got to conduct an investigation. What the hell have we been doing for two frickin' years? We've got reporters done investigation. We've done investigating. Okay, maybe we need to, but we need to subpoena the right people. Now, yeah, I do know that Hillary Clinton When she was at home, by the way, she went home. But she got updates, too. So she's at home. Obama's in the Oval Office practicing his fundraising speech the next day in Las Vegas. And, you know, he's getting updates. I don't know what, maybe every half hour? What is he, every 15 minutes? And, yeah, everything's still going fine, Mr. President. Yeah, the place is still on fire, and they're still attacking. They got bombs in the air and machine gun fire. We still can't find the ambassador. Nobody knows. Nobody's seen him anywhere. We don't know. So that's that. Oh, okay, thanks. All right, now let's get back to this speech. Unbelievable. That's the biggest thing. Again, that's where I started off a long time ago, but that's the biggest thing for me with Benghazi. Upon hearing the news. Now, don't give me this. George Bush waited 2 minutes or a minute and a half or whatever. Fine. I understand what he was trying to do. Just think about the situation. There's really nothing he could do at that particular moment anyway. Didn't want to make a fuss. Made it look like it was natural. I understood what he was doing. I didn't have a problem with it. We don't need to go into that. I'm sorry, Mr. Moore. But zippy. And take a bath, maybe shave once in a while, change the oil on that hat. Maybe switch to, I don't know, carrots, maybe some lettuce. But see, he can be a multi-friggin' gazillionaire and ridicule and humiliate capitalism, which if it wasn't for capitalism, he wouldn't have all this money. Now his ex-wife is trying to sue him for... I don't know, bazillions, however much money he's got. He's got, I don't know, how many homes that are, you know, the size of most counties. So, I mean, I don't know. I really don't give a damn, to be perfectly honest with you. I think his documentaries suck. I do got to admit, though, Canadian bacon, because I remember that as a kid. We used to, you know, kind of talk about that, too, you know, nuclear stuff. Well, why not Canada? Why not this, you know? Just goofing around. That's why I loved that movie. And it was funny. John Candy loved John Candy. How could he not love John Candy? Come on! All right, now we need to get back here. Get back to this smug... This smart-ass, punk-ass, I mean, I swear to God, I mean, that smirk that he had on his face that whole time. And just the voice, his inflection in his voice, you could tell. I mean, it was absolutely unbelievable. And he didn't care. He knew he was guilty, but he was going to go out there and lie anyway. And he did. And gives no apologies. There's no apology that's needed for the government. We can do what we want. We're a part of the executive branch. I got that cut in here, too. Yeah, that's what he says. Mr. Commissioner, the IRS, as far as I know, is part of the Treasury. You're not part of the executive branch. Well, I mean, some kind of very bizarre technical way he might be, but when he said that, I think the reason why he used that word, that term, if you want to psychoanalyze, that's how they think, that they are part of the executive. They're part of the White House. They're all connected. It's all one, and it is. The EPA... Congress is all but wiped out. There's only one branch of government now, and that's it. The IRS is part of the White House. I mean, they're in there so often, trying to figure out how to screw people in Obamacare, trying to figure out how to screw the Tea Party so they don't get people to vote for them. I mean, what were they thinking? I mean, look. Okay, fine. It would be nice to go, you know, if you had the power to do that, but, you know, you got to think about it. Why? I mean, the whole part of America is to be free. Well, if you have to resort to these kinds of tactics, then you don't have the masses. You don't have the votes. Because if you truly do have the votes, you won't need to play those games. You won't need to cheat to win. And that's what they're doing. They're cheating to win. Well, we want to win too, but we don't want to cheat to do it. I'm speaking of the American people here. That's another thing that we need to get out of this government. We're the only ones who can get this we're the only ones who can clean this government up. They're not going to do it. I mean, there might be a few people pitching in the government, but for the most part, we need to do the cleaning. And we do it in the voting booth. That vote right there is one of the most powerful. We don't understand. I think we take the vote for granted. Maybe that's it. I think sometimes we take the vote for granted, but that vote is very, very, very powerful. Currency. That's exactly what it is. That vote is currency. It's gold. That should be, I mean, hey, you could put it on the stock market. But that's exactly what it is. We need to get this stuff out of this government. All this crap. Corruption? Look, I know everybody's corrupt. I mean, even the Church Picnic Council is corrupt. However, the kinds of corruption that they are involved in, Harry Greed, this guy, Hillary Clinton, look what she's done. I mean, we can go down the line. And then when you get into the President of the United States has violated this Constitution. I think in every single line, I don't think there is one line that he has actually followed. He might have followed it at one time, but then he certainly and a lot of other times broke it. But when you destroy the preamble, the very first sentence of our Constitution, the very first sentence, how do you destroy the first sentence of the Constitution? Well, this man has done it. He's completely destroyed, well, Article 1, the legislative branch. What is that? What the hell is that doing in here? There's none of this stuff. Not when you have a king. Get the hell out of there. What the hell is that? I mean, look how many pages it is. Oh, come on. We can't. Here it is. This is what we want. The executive branch, which is me, the king. That's the only one that counts. And all this other stuff, you know, in here that says, you know, I can't do this, can't do that, all that. I will decide. I am a constitutional scholar. I taught constitutional law. I will tell you what is constitutional and what is not. And I got even a crookeder lawyer, attorney general, and he will tell you if it's constitutional or not. We are the government. We went to Harvard. We are lawyers. We won an election. We are smart. You are not. We are in charge. We are in power. No, you're not. That vote is still in power. But if we do not exercise it, we do not use it properly, then it's not worth anything. Well, they're gobbling up the votes. Again, votes are currency. And every one of those illegal immigrants crossing the border, that they are using your tax dollars to go pick them up from Central America and in Mexico. Come along the way, all through the Mexican drug cartels and through this and through that. Over rivers and through the valleys, the desert. We're paying for that. For what? Well, to become Democrats. So they will vote. And we will send them wherever we want to send them. We just dump them off in Texas, dump them off in Massachusetts. They're dumping them off everywhere. But now, if you're a governor, I think you do have some kind of, well, I don't know, authority of some sort to protect your state. I don't care if it's federal government or not. You have the right to close the goddamn border and protect it. I do know that federal law has federal law. Fine, fine, fine. But still, it's your state. You want to set the border up a few miles from the original border? Knock yourself out. Why can't they do that? They can. Maybe they should. Set up an alternate border. Put a big, huge old fence up there. You could stop these people from coming in. Yeah, I do know there's always going to be people sneaking in. Well, there's people sneaking in any country. But to facilitate the masses coming in when we already have over 92 million people out of work, and you're putting these people, they all come in with their own diseases, and they collect in other people's diseases, and it's just going around, and everybody's getting sick. And now you got Border Patrol changing diapers? No. No, that's not our border. No. No. Again, the preamble of the Constitution, that is far, far from providing and promoting general welfare. Welfare for who? Oh, that's right, the Democrats. Well, some of them may die, but, you know, hey, you know, Kat Sebelius. Remember her? Yeah, I wonder what happened to old Cat. I wonder what the hell she's doing now. Cat the Bat. Jiminy Christmas. What was that? Why would you put somebody ahead of Health and Human Services because she was a governor? This is another thing that drives me nuts. People just put people in positions of a so-called authority that have absolutely nothing to do with the industry, with whatever it is. But they're in charge. Well, they're a leader. Really? Oh. If she was such a good leader, how come she didn't, well, one, find out for herself how the website was going, and if it wasn't going on time, why didn't she report it to anybody? Or did she and was, you know, promptly told to keep it to herself? Why would you pick her anyway? And then you got that Janet Napolitano as Homeland Security because she was a governor. I mean, why? I don't know. I mean, we could go on for hours. But let's get into this this hearing today. This is where I wanted to start off an hour ago. Haven't gotten into anything yet. Good God Almighty. That's all right. We're starting now. Hopefully I still got it in here. I don't know if I got all the cuts or not. Well, we'll find them. But this idiot, this Koskinen, I guess that's how you pronounce it. I can't pronounce it. Drives me nuts. They have no scruples when it comes to absolutely anything. I mean, they will lie right through. They don't care. They'll just keep on lying, and these people have lied so often, so much. They don't know what is true and what is not. I don't think they know that they're lying. But they're just defending themselves. So whatever this person is that's asking them a question, they're just going to come back with some kind of, you know, smarky attitude and trying to turn them into the villain and have an attitude with it and that condescending smile and that smug smirk. I just wanted to just slap him. Slap every ounce of condescension out of that creep. I can't stand people like this. They're not taking any of this stuff seriously. I still can't believe that the Democrats are defending this Benghazi. with everything that is known in the, they're still out defending it. And it's nothing. There's nothing to see here. So what? People died. Hey. I mean, hey, it was a dangerous area, man. They bought their tickets. They knew what they were getting into. You know, there's nothing we can do about it, you know. The Republicans, they cut back the money for security, which is not true. And if you believe that, you're an idiot. No, that money comes from the State Department. They had the money. The State Department cut it out. Now, whether Hillary Clinton took it upon herself to get rid of the security, or maybe did it come from somebody else and she just signed off on it? Maybe somebody else, a rogue employee from Cleveland, perhaps? Maybe they cut the security down? What happened? Well, we'll never find that out. They'll never tell us. This is what we need in that stupid hearing. But we don't need hearings. We need grand juries. We've got crimes, man. IRS is a crime. Fast and Furious is a crime. Don't they give people life sentences for gun violations, like, say, several thousand guns going into the hands of very bad people, known criminals? That some of these cartels have quotas on. They've got to kill people, so many people per week or day or whatever it is. If you gave, if you gave that many guns to the Mexican drug cartels, you facilitated a weapons transfer of that many weapons to the Mexican drug cartels, you would go to jail probably for, well, at least 25 years, if not for life. You might get out in about 30 with good behavior. Who knows? This president, what happens? Well, he gets reelected and takes away more rights and commits more crimes and more people die. So, you know, as long as he benefits, I mean, the king's important. If the king's happy, then hey, then the world's happy. And if he pulls out and says the war in Iraq is over, well, then that's exactly what it is. It is over. He signed it with his pen. Then he called his buddy and took a selfie with his phone. Unbelievable. This man, this is another one that doesn't take their job seriously. None of these people do. They don't take any of these scandals seriously. And Jay Carney, I didn't lie. I never lie. Honestly, no, I never lie. Yeah, you did. Shut up. I got that stupid quote in here, too. We have one. God only knows if we'll ever get to it. We still haven't even gotten into this one yet. Mr. No Apology. Imagine if Bush would have done this. Yeah, there would have been impeachment, you damn Skippy. And there should be. You can impeach him on any of these scandals. These are real. You can impeach him on the stimulus package. Really? Yeah, you can. What was it, $800 billion, almost $1 trillion of taxpayer money? Taxpayer money. It didn't come out of his pocket. It didn't come out of the Obama fund. That's for damn sure. Came out of your pocket. Guess where it went? Well, the union's got a big bunch of it. Campaign donors got a whole bunch of it. All of his little buddies, they got a whole bunch of it, and they opened up all these green businesses. Green. Well, first of all, this green, nothing's green. This green, that's another hoax. People put green on it and just tell you it's green. Who knows what the hell's in it? I don't buy it. Look, fine. You want to be healthy? I don't have a problem with it. Nor do I really have a problem with using chemicals that are not toxic. I think most people would agree, right? Right, sure. Why? Yeah. But not everything that is green is green. because they say it is doesn't mean that it is. Just like the president, just because he says the war in Iraq is over does not mean that it is. If they got no more Americans to fight in the Middle East, well, guess where they're going to go? Guess where there's a whole lot of Americans. Take a guess. New York's got a whole bunch of them, sure. Anywhere on the coast there, sure. Florida, Miami, that's got a lot. Oh, yeah. Carolinas, oh, yeah. They got, oh, yeah, up and down. Boom, boom, boom. Washington, D.C. isn't too far from the coast. They can do a lot of damage. They can do a lot of things. They can get anywhere. They're all over. They're already here. So if we are truly committed, and when I say we, I mean the entire world, and this is a world problem. I can't stop talking about it. But if we're going to do it, we got to get serious. And we need to get some Rosie the Riveters into the bomb-making shops. We want to get our economy back? Well, let's boost the war effort. Let's start bombing the living hell out of these people. We've got to do something. We've got to keep them at bay. We can't bring them here. And we got to stop with their Sharia compliance crap. I don't care if it's your religion or not. You don't run your daughter over because she wore makeup. You don't cut her head off. You don't cut her nose off. You don't rape a woman for showing her ankle. You don't beat her in the street for it. You don't dig her a hole and bury her and then throw rocks at her head until she's dead. We don't do that in the United States. I don't care what you do in your stupid country. You want to do it over there? Knock yourself out, kid. Go. Do it. That's your country. It's not here. We're America. We don't do that here. And yeah, we eat bacon, and we like it. We love the smell of it. And we don't give a damn if you don't like it. We love bacon. I love bacon. I love pork chops. I love pork ribs. Love me some pork ribs. I know they don't got very much meat on them, but they're good. You can eat slabs of pork ribs. And little baby back ribs, you betcha, Red Rider. Pork ribs. I love pork ribs. I like pork ribs better than beef ribs. And those pork ribs, boy, I tell you, with the barbecue sauce, you got to get messy. I mean, if you're going to, you know, you got anything white? No. You need bibs. You need towels. You need to get ornery with it, man. You got to just coat that barbecue sauce. It's got to be thick, and you got to just dig your hands in there, and you got to just go to town like a caveman. That's what you got to do with them pork ribs. I love pork and bacon. I can eat bacon. I can eat bacon for every meal. I could put bacon on bacon. You don't need bread. You just need bacon. How could you not love bacon? That's one thing I can't figure out, Al. People, I mean, the smell of bacon just makes you just, oh. But they don't like it. They don't like the smell of bacon. I don't know what the hell's wrong with them. But Jews don't like it either. I don't understand that. Well, they think it's filthy and it's dirty. Well, it may be filthy, it may be dirty, but it sure as hell tastes good. And that's the only thing I'm concerned with. I don't like eating food that I don't like. I like eating food that I do like. Now we're on to food? Ah, unbelievable. Let's get into this here. Well, if you don't know what's happening, these emails had suddenly just disappeared, just gone. And they had a crash, which is exactly what they did. They made this up in 2011. They realized, uh-oh, we have incriminating evidence on emails that goes to the White House, goes to the DOJ, goes to the FEC, goes to the Treasury, goes to here, goes to there. It goes everywhere. So we've got to destroy just these particular times on these particular people, so that there's no evidence. Well, what they did was they got clever. They destroyed the hard drive, and then they had an email. Oh, sorry, I couldn't fix it. And then she writes back, oh, well, stuff happens. Oh, okay, now we've covered our tracks. Now she acted like, oh, you know, yeah, it would be nice to have my emails, but since they're gone, no big deal. Oh, well, boo-boo-doo, that's oh, well, no big deal. But that was deliberate. That doesn't just happen just to the people that need to be, that are being investigated. It doesn't just happen that way. It happened that way deliberately. And it just so happens that all the people that are that lost their email are part of the investigation. And they did this, what, 2 years ago, 3 years ago? And they knew what they were doing. And they covered their tracks. What they did was they probably just went out to lunch, and that's how they had their conversations. And they spoke with liaisons and all kinds of people, which they should have been doing in the first place. This is another thing, this administration. I mean, look, if you're going to be doing, you know, stuff like this, I mean, you need to think it all the way through first and make sure that you've got a decent plan. You've got contingencies up your ass. Then you can go ahead and do it. But if you haven't thought it all the way through and you don't know what's going to happen, and when something does happen and you have no idea what to do, then you've got no business doing it. Get back in the White House, the Oval Office, and start doing some work. Take out your little pen. Take out your little phone and start looking like a president, for crying out loud. Do something. What does he do? Well, he can't do very much right now. Well, why? Well, you know, tea time. He's got golf. But you know, he's a king. Kings have to golf. That's part of being a king, is to golf. Look, I didn't make the rules. That's just part of royalty. Nothing I can do about it. So these emails now are completely gone. Well, I don't think they are completely gone. What they did was they took the hard drive that crashed and they, they recycled it. They took all the stuff out. They tried being clever, and then they recycled it and put other stuff on it. Well, they say they do that when hard drives crash. Well, how often do all your hard drives crash and then you recycle them? Most people, I mean, you got a hard drive. Well, I mean, they can recover it. I don't know of too many hard drives that can't be recovered. I've had my hard drive blow up twice, and I've had it recovered. This is the government computer, the IRS. It's got backup after backup after backup. So for the IRS to think, and for the White House, I'm sure the White House was involved, I'm sure they had to know. They had to know what the hell was going on. They were involved in it. More than likely, Valerie Goebbels. The president, I'm probably sure, probably knew, probably doesn't even care. It is probably true. I mean, as aloof as this man is, I would not be a bit surprised if he wasn't telling the truth that, yeah, he found out about this stuff watching CNN. Actually, I think that's the only thing this man has actually said that was true. And that's sad. That's pathetic when the president has to watch CNN. I mean, CNN, if you're going to watch the news, CNN, what are you, at an airport? Can't you get anything else on Air Force One there? Or is that the only channel that comes in on your golf cart? What are you doing watching television anyway? You're the president. Get your ass in the Oval Office and go to work. I don't buy this. Nobody buys it. You can't be, look, come on. I mean, you don't, I'm not an IT person. I'm not a techie, but look, if my computer here can crash, I can get my hard drive back. This is the government. They've got a much more sophisticated computer than this. This is a home built. I mean, it's been modified and remodified. It was somebody else's computer. The guy had it. It was a used computer. And he tried wiping out half of it. And I still got pictures. Every once in a while, I find in a file that I have no idea. They're not my pictures. I don't know whose they are. This computer's old. But I keep getting more different stuff added onto it. And it crashes. And I just add more onto it. And I still get all my stuff back. Now, the government, which has contingencies for everything, and rightly so, they must. And they do. So I don't buy this, well, we just recycle our hard drives. No, we don't recycle hard drives. How often do your hard drives crash? I mean, this is the government. I mean, they've got a much more, much bigger hard drive, much, much, much better hard drive than my little home job here. It still really doesn't have that big of guts. But it does the job. It's a little slow from time to time, but, you know, it gets me up on the internet, so I'm all right. But this is the government, and they do get all of their stuff back. They don't, I'm sorry, I don't buy that. We just recycle old hard drives. And if that's the case, that seems to me that should be a violation. That should be a crime. You have to be able to save it somehow, some way. You cannot destroy that. If you destroy it, you destroy, let's say, a hard drive, which is, you know, you can get it back. If you can get my machine back, they can get theirs back. They know what they're doing. They make it, look, you can get it back. And if you recycle it and you erase it and you go over and over and over, maybe there's still a way you can get it back. I don't know. Maybe there is. I don't know. Maybe it's actually all in there. Who knows? But the fact that you would take something that you have to save and recycle it and go over it, that seems to me to be a crime right there. Well, they don't seem to care, even if it is a crime. But I mean, right? I mean, doesn't that make sense? Well, let's get into this. Let's play this first cut here now. Damn motorcycle. I don't know if you heard that, but Jiminy Christmas. I like bikes. I like the sound of them. But when you're trying to talk on the radio and you can't hear yourself, but that's all right. It's a nice night. He's having fun. Ride your bike, buddy. All right, let's get into it. This is the first one. This is Dave Camp. He's a committee chairman here. Holding a committee about the IRS, which, again, these hearings, okay, fine. You had a hearing. We got some sound bites, but where's the action? Where's the follow-up? How come nobody's in jail? Why isn't somebody losing their job? Why don't we have investigators finding this stuff out? Why is Lois Lerner still not testifying? I don't care if she's in contempt. If she's going to be this way, we need to put her in front of a grand jury. Why do we not have Lois Lerner in a grand jury? This is a crime. You want to give her immunity? You want to talk about immunity? All right. We'll talk about immunity. Here's your immunity. You're going to give us your emails, find a way, do something. And you're going to spill the beans. You can't find them? Okay, you're going to tell us what you said. And with whom? You're gonna point to the president and the DOJ and the this and the that and whoever was involved. You're gonna spill the beans. Who came up with the idea? Who all was involved? Who had anything to do with anything? Who knew what, when, where, how, why, and when, and everything. Everything. And then we'll give you immunity. You don't want to do that? Well, it looks like you're going to jail. And you're going to stay there for a very long time. And you're not going to go to a nice jail. No. Put you in a work farm. We're going to work it out of you. How about that, Larry Lewis? I don't mean to go extreme. I'm kind of, you know, hyperbolizing. But the woman needs to go to jail. She's guilty of doing this. We don't do this with the IRS. This has to deal with people's lives. This is beyond violating the Constitution. This is simply violating another human being. Violating them. I mean, that's the worst one of them all. Of all the violations, that's it. You're violating the person. The people, the group, the idea, their mind. Because it's not like yours. I'm sorry, but that's, to me, that's criminal. You can't do that in a government. And she's still collecting a pension. This woman's getting a pension from you. You're paying this woman. So she can pay her electric bill on her beautiful mansion. Drive around in her fancy cars and her boats. She's living high on the hog. She raped you, and she's living high on the hog. And the taxpayers, the very people that she screwed over and violated, are paying for her to live a nice, warm, comfortable life. And she can plead the fifth. No, Ms. Lerner, you don't plead the fifth. You need to be in front of a grand jury. So, all right, enough talking already. Let's get on. This is the first one here. This is the very opening of the hearing. The very opening tells you everything you need to know. Go ahead and play this.
We are committed to continually to working cooperatively and transparently with you, this committee, and we will continue to provide you.
Liar.
This concludes my testimony. I'd be happy to take your questions.
Well, thank you. What I didn't hear in that was an apology to this committee.
I don't think an apology is owed. There not a single email has been lost since the start.
Bitch. There wasn't a single email that was lost. Yeah. Wait a minute. Didn't you say they were lost? They were lost forever? But he said no before, during this investigation. That's right. You lost them before the investigation because you knew that there were going to be one. Because you knew you were committing a crime. What the hell does that mean? He's trying to get away. No, we didn't lose any emails from the time of this investigation. No, you lost the emails when you finally woke up and realized that what you did was put a record on the crime you committed. It implicated, well, the president, the attorney general, and probably a whole bunch of other people that don't want to be, well, implicated. They don't want to go to jail either. But it looks like, well, destroyed the hard drive. Can't go now. Look at that. Oh, well, we're free. Oh, well, stuff happens. And she thought, okay, now we got it. Now we're clear. We destroyed the hard drive, and now we'll recycle it. Why would the government recycle it? Why would the government do that? Don't you think that the government would try to get it back and maybe take that information and put it on another hard drive because this one crashed and can't use it anymore? And if you want to recycle it after that, okay, fine. You want to reuse it after that, okay, fine, but you need to take that information off that hard drive and you need to store it on something else. You can get it back. I mean, unless it's in a fire and you blow it up with a nuclear bomb, I mean, within reason, you can get it back. You don't take the hard drive and then recycle it. Well, see, they can do that because they can get a low-level person that just started like 2 days ago. Hey, buddy, get over here. Yeah, I'm, you know, so-and-so supervisor. And this here, do you do me a favor? I just need you to do this little thing right over here, and you do that, push this button, and blah, 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 blah. So they, you know, do it. They think the boss is, you know, giving them, you know, telling them what to do. They think they're doing their job. And that way, the boss can say, well, no, I didn't do it. No, man, it was a low-level staffer. They did it. They didn't know what they were doing. They were confused. Yeah, but you gave the order to him. Well, no, I didn't. I said to do this over there, and they didn't understand it, and I left. I went into the coffee shop. I came back, and the mess was created, and we didn't know what to do. We panicked, and So it wasn't us. We didn't do anything. It was a mistake. It happens. That's what they want to play it off on. Oh, well, you know, just a simple mistake. Oh, it happens. Oh, well, no harm, no foul. And then when she wants to break the story, once it's before it goes public, again, this woman's not very creative, and whoever's their, I guess their PR people, they're not very good with scandals. This whole administration, whoever their PR department is that Valerie Goebbels? Is she doing all this? Well, whoever's doing it is not doing a very good job, because the only way they can get out of one scandal is to create another. And that one gets too hot, well, you create another. I mean, my God in heaven, I'm afraid to find out what's going to be the next one. What could be the next one? I don't even want to think about it. But you know one's coming. Look, with everything that's going on with this guy right now, he needs something. So what does he do? He golfs. And he gives a speech, a commencement speech. Iraq is being overtaken by Al-Qaeda. We got no veteran has a doctor. 92 plus million people out of work. The economy in the soup. And this guy wants to go give a commencement speech. And then golf. How many times did he golf? Well, we don't really know. That's classified. Look, I know everybody needs a weekend. Everybody needs a little time off. But, dude, we need you to do a little work, too. And the work you do is awful. Everything that this man has done, everything that he has signed in, everything has been a failure. Everything. Everything from the very moment. What was his first speech? I'm going to close Guantanamo Bay. Well, that didn't work out as planned. Within a year. That was his plan. Within a year. That didn't work out. But he's still going to close it. If he's got to release everybody to do it, then that's what he's going to do. And I do got to give a little blame to George Bush, too, why these men weren't tried earlier. They should have been tried, convicted, and sentenced. That's it. And they don't spend, I'm sorry, terrorists do not step foot on American soil. They shouldn't have that privilege. This is a land of freedom, and we respect it. And if you don't respect us, you can't respect everything that we have done, more than likely for them anyway. We've done a lot for these people, for everybody. We don't seem to do a lot for ourselves, our veterans. We can't do anything for them. But we can make sure, you know, Al-Qaeda's got enough weapons. And, you know, ISIS now has enough money. They got enough weapons. That's fine. But a veteran needs a doctor? Not interested. Boring. Next. All right, let's play this damn cut here now. This is the opening. Dave Camp and this Koskinen. What a weird name to say, Koskinen. It's going to take me a while. So we already played that one. Let's play the next one here. This is one. Go ahead, put it.
2014. Who told Treasury, and do you know who in Treasury told the White House?
I have no idea. I have no communications with the White House.
Well, you're the head of the IRS. You don't know something this important? Contacts between your agency and the executive branch? You're unaware of them?
We are part of the executive branch. We have regular communications with issue regulations. We review them. We're in the process of reviewing, for instance, the regulations on the 501c issue. We have regular communication, particularly between our counsel's office and the Treasury counsel.
It's the IRS.
I'd still like to know what he means he's part of the executive branch. I'd still like to know what he means by it. Well, I think what he means by it, and the evidence that I see, I can't go by anybody else's evidence, but my evidence. There's only one branch of government. That's the executive branch. That's the only one that counts anyway. The legislative branch, that doesn't seem to count. And if Harry Reid, I mean, if the president doesn't have enough votes in the Senate, well, he just gets one of his little jesters, Harry Reid, well, he just changes the rules. Okay, now we only need 51. Well, wait a minute. This is the way we've been doing it forever. Everything is never just 51. It's always been two-thirds for everything. And there's reasons for that. You don't want just 51. You don't want just one more. That's not a real majority. You get two-thirds and you've got yourself a real majority. Majority by one, okay, fine. I mean, technically it's a majority, but it's not a majority. It's still pretty split, which means it's not decided. But you got two-thirds, now you got yourself a majority. But see, if the Democrats, if they can't win by following these rules that everybody else has to follow, well, then they change them. And when they change them, well, then the Democrats, well, then they benefit. And that's the point. That's the only thing that matters. As long as the Democrats win, we're going to be just fine. And you must accept it. And you must vote for me. Peace and love. Well, this camp also went on to say, I mean, how does this put anyone at ease? After he was talking about, I mean, he put hundreds of millions of taxpayers' information. And now you're saying that a technological system was so poor that years' worth of emails are forever unrecoverable. How does that put anyone at ease? How far would the excuse, "I lost it," get with the IRS for an average American trying to file their yearly taxes who may have lost their a few receipts? Well, it wouldn't get them very far at all, except to jail. After the hearing, Camp was talking to reporters. He says he thinks Koskinen still owes a huge apology, but that shows the arrogance that we're dealing with. Yeah, it's arrogant, all right. But at least we did have some people, and I got a few clips here, and I'm playing them just because it's nice to see somebody in Congress at least stand up and look like they're fighting. I like to see that from time to time. We need a bunch more of it. It's kind of inspiring. Maybe you can get somebody else to do it, and we can keep it up, and it can be like a snowball rolling downhill. Boom. Like an avalanche. So this is Ryan now. And Ryan was having none of it from nobody. And good for him. He was pissed. And he was good for him. He was having nothing from nobody today. Members on the committee. He was having nothing from this Koskinen. He was having nothing from nobody today. He was in a mood. Good for him. I was loving it. So here's one clip from him. It's only about a minute. Go ahead and play this one.
I don't believe you. This is incredible.
I have a long career. That's the first time anybody has said that you do not believe me. I'm actually
That's
fine. We can have a disagreement. I'm willing to stand on our record. I'm willing to remind you that it was not buried in 27 pages. Most
record?
Of that 27 pages is exhibits. When asked about the custodians, we advised you.
Coming,
which we knew for one day.
Being forthcoming is to say,
I'm sorry,
you know what, investigators, Congress who's investigating this.
Will you let him answer the question?
I didn't ask him a question.
Yes, you did.
Being forthcoming.
The gentleman.
I control the time.
I realize that disrupting a hearing
get him, Ryan.
Sort of No, come on.
No.
People, but the gentleman from Wisconsin.
I am not yielding time. I control the time.
He has the time.
Here's what being forthcoming is.
Regular order.
If we are investigating criminal wrongdoing, targeting of people based on their political beliefs, and the emails in question are lost because of a hard drive crash that is apparently unrecoverable, which a lot of IT professionals would question, and you don't tell us about it until we ask you about it, that is not being forthcoming.
And that's...
Well, they don't have to be. They're Democrats. They're the most transparent people. Don't you know that, Paul Ryan? But, I mean, these people, they just... And this Brady now. This guy was having nothing from nobody either. And he's laughing at him. And he's like, come on, Commissioner. I mean, it was like, come on. And I'm not going to play any of the Democrats because they just made me sick. You don't defend any of this stuff. This is stuff you don't defend. And again, we shouldn't be playing these sound bites. Because this stuff right here, or this man's testimony needs to be in front of a grand jury. Right there with Lois Lerner, the president, the attorney general, Hillary Clinton, on down the line, Valerie Goebbels. I know. That's pie in the sky. You can't start doing that to government, and then everybody's going to be doing it. But we got to at least impeach this president, at least put an end to some of this pain. At least set some kind of precedence. And look, you can't go out there and commit crimes. These are high crimes and misdemeanors, meaning the only one who can do these crimes are the president. And these are crimes. People did die. This man has violated, criminal law, constitutional law, civil law, humanity law. I mean, this guy, I mean, he's a despot. I mean, I'm afraid he's going to sign his little magic pen that he's going to be king for life. He seems to have a lot of military on his side for whatever reason. The troopers aren't, but he still has a lot of generals. He did pretty good with getting all the generals that he wants in there. I don't understand that. I don't know how a general, a real general, could a self-respecting general that cared about the American people, cared about his military service, cared about freedom, cared about what he was doing. How can you not argue with this man? How can you just simply do whatever he says? I don't get it. I know you're a general, he's commander-in-chief, you got to take orders, but you've also got to instruct and inform, and tell the president, Mr. President, dude, you are going to have to slow down and shut up. I'm the general. I'm going to give you much better advice than Valerie Goebbels. You see, when our embassies are attacked, okay, we don't call YouTube and start spinning the story so it doesn't, the king doesn't look bad. We don't do that. When our embassies attack, here's what we do. We get all these troopers, we get all in these planes, and they get the battle gear, we get everything ready to go. Go to war. We get a bunch of fighters out there, we get all kinds of stuff going on. We see them, we kill them. You want to get a helicopter? Get a couple helicopters. Get them Black Hawk boys. Put them to some good use. Start shooting these bastards down. We can see them in the dark. Did we do any of that? No. That's what I can't understand, why our, Dempsey, I think it was, the chief of staff for the military, I don't know. I can't remember his name, I think it's Dempsey. He's a nothing. And Panetta, here's the defense secretary. You would think a decent defense secretary should have been fired that night. He should have been fired that night. And why do I say that? Well, because if the president is going to be AWOL from his post, he should have made a stink about it. And he should have barged in the Oval Office, and he should have sat him down and slapped him and said, you're going to get your goddamn ass into that Situation Room, pull him by his ear, and drag him down there. And you said, you're now going to do stuff. We're going to send some troops. We're going to go protect these people. And we're going to attack these people that are attacking us. You are not going to eat. You are not going to get on the phone and have a conversation with Netanyahu for 2 hours. You want to have somebody on your subpoena list, Mr. Gowdy? The president. That's the only one that I'm interested in. I'm not interested in listening to Hillary Clinton. I know she's the Secretary of State. I know there's a lot of questions and she should answer them, but that, to me, the most important is the president. Why would you, Mr. President, upon hearing the news that our embassy is on fire, our ambassador is missing, we are under attack with mortar fire machine guns, God only knows how many of them are attacking. Upon hearing that news, you decide to go upstairs and eat. And then go on a phone conversation with Netanyahu for 2 hours. And then when it comes time to actually finally get somebody down in the Situation Room, you send Valerie Goebbels, your advisor. Does she send any help? No. She can't order any troops. The only thing she can do is call up YouTube and begin the spin. That's what I would ask the president, why he would do that. That troubles me the most. That's traitorous. I'm sorry, but that, how is that not? How is that not treason? Purposely allowing the enemy to attack, knowing that they're attacking and you're doing nothing to defend the American people, American soil. You as commander-in-chief, that's your job. When we're attacked, well, we defend and we attack back. That's your job, Mr. President. You failed. That's enough not only for impeach, but you need to go to jail. That's treason. And I'm not just using the T word. That is treason, period. That's exactly what it is. It is treason. Committed it, Mr. President. He needs to be on your committee there, Mr. Gowdy. Well, let's get into this Brady now. I like this guy. This guy was having nothing from this guy, too. There's a whole bunch of stuff on here. If you get a chance to watch it, I mean, he did get grilled, but the problem is these people don't care. They're just the guy sitting up there. He doesn't care. He knows nothing's going to happen to him. He'll get up there and be a smart ass. He doesn't give a damn. He's not going to lose his job. And if it comes time, you know, where he does got to lose his job, well, he's got plenty of time to resign. You know, throw a retirement party. Here's your gold watch. Collects a nice big old fat pension. He'll get that. He doesn't care. He's not hurting. Nothing's happening to him. Well, this is the problem with our government. Nothing is happening. There's no consequences. There's no responsibility, no accountability. I want to see consequences for actions. That's what I want to see. Well, that starts with accountability. We have to hold ourselves accountable to hold them accountable. It starts with everybody. Everybody has to be accountable. You can't just expect somebody else to be accountable, and you can go sit and watch the Kim Kardashian show. No, you got to do it too. Everybody's got to chip in and everybody's got to work. It's the only way it works. Not only do you need to be impeached, Mr. President, but you do need to go to jail. You are disgraceful. And you have disgraced not only this country, but your position. Your position as president. You've disgraced this entire country. You've embarrassed this country far too many times. We're sick of it. I'm sick of it. I know that for a fact. I've had a buttful. I'm done. So, what I wanted to start 2 hours ago, oh my God, we haven't even gotten into anything. So let's get into this guy here now. This is Brady. This guy, If you get on YouTube, go back. You get a time this weekend. You're going to have all weekend. Don't worry about it. There's plenty of news to catch up on. But just watch some of this stuff. And just watch this guy. Look at his face. Look at his eyes. And they got a camera right on him. And you can see it on YouTube. And you can just read this man's eyes. He just is so, I mean, it is absolutely disgraceful. And it's disgusting, and it just angers me. And I wish that television was 3D, because I would grab him by his throat and I would slap him repeatedly until every ounce of that smugness and condescension was knocked out of him. Me all day, that's all right. I don't mind slapping him. Mr. Koskinen, you are disrespectful not only to the people that you screwed over, but to the American people in general. You are a disgrace to our Constitution, our way of life. You are a disgrace to yourself, but you're too greedy and too arrogant to realize it. But yes, you are. You are a complete disgrace. What I saw you do today, sir, out and out, just disgrace. That's the word that I, that's the first word that popped into my head. This is a disgrace. Absolutely pathetic of what this man did. And unapologetic about it. Very unapologetic. Refuses to apologize. Nobody wants to apologize. Nobody in government wants to admit that they did wrong. Even though the evidence is so overwhelming, you can't deny it. But they do, and they get away with it. And what do? How do we punish these people? Well, we vote them back into office. Well, maybe this time they'll get it right. Yeah. Yeah, they'll get it right. Yeah, I'm sure they will. All right. Before we run out of time, let's play my new buddy now. This is Brady. I think he's from Texas. Kevin Brady. All right, play this guy. Go ahead.
For Legislative Affairs, quote, Treasury agreed with the IRS that it should inform Congress as soon as it was able. Yet you did not.
We actually have provided you the information. My goal was...
You had not provided us any information.
Well,
in fact, we didn't learn
last
week and then this week that you had supposedly lost the emails, not just from Ms. Lerner, but other persons of interest in IRS.
There is no evidence that any of those emails have been lost either. And in fact, as I said earlier, my process has been to make sure that we had all
Mr.
of the facts when we provided them to you, so that in fact...
Why, at this point,
exactly.
Why should anyone believe you?
Mm-hmm.
The IRS denied for 2 years targeting of Americans based on their political beliefs. That wasn't the truth. They said it was a few rogue agents in Cincinnati. That wasn't the truth. You said you were targeting liberal organizations. That wasn't the truth. And then you assured us you would provide us all the emails in May, and that wasn't the truth. And today, you're telling us out of thousands of IRS computers, the one that lost the emails was the person of interest in an ongoing congressional investigation. And that isn't the truth either. This is the most corrupt and deceitful IRS in the history.
Exactly. The most corrupt and deceitful IRS. No, it's the most corrupt and deceitful government in history. Nobody ever thought that we would get this corrupt. I know, okay, human beings, you're going to get corrupt. Okay, fine. However, this much and this big of corruption, not little bitty stuff. Richard Nixon was going through impeachment hearings because he tried to get the IRS to target the liberals. They said no. This man has actually done it, and they're still doing it. And they're in your face and bold about it, unapologetic about it. They know that they're tyrants. They know it. They know they can get away with it. They're invincible. No one can touch them. Well, this is why we need to have this election. This is why this is so important. If we're going to save this country, we have to save it. And we have to save it in the voting booth. We have to save it there. Well, before we can save it in the voting booth, we need to start getting some people running for office. We can't just accept duds. We've got to vet these people. These are our leaders. We should be out there looking for people. And if it's you, then you need to clean yourself up, make yourself get yourself a suit, shave, cut your hair, dress yourself up all nice and pretty, get out there and campaign and do it. But we can't accept anymore the McCains and the Bush. Speaking of McCain now, unbelievable. I know. We're all over the place, but that's all right. Let's get into this. This is McCain now. Where the hell? I got this somewhere. Boop, 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 boop. This is John McCain. Takes a selfie. I'm going to find the story here somewhere, but he takes a selfie. Guess with who? Remember a couple years ago when he was on there? Oh, yeah, I've met these people. I've met them. They're moderate. I've met them. He was talking about Syria. Remember when, you know, Obama wanted to go bomb Syria for, I don't know. I've met these people. They're moderate. I've met them. Well, he also, guess what he did? He's got a selfie with them. A big old picture. And guess what they're doing with that now? They're using that for, well, to advertise. They're using that as their propaganda. A picture with John McCain. Isn't that nice? Yeah, they're real moderate, aren't they, John? For you to go, Mr. McCain. And there's a lot of vets out there that are not happy with John McCain. They don't like him. They don't like what he did, not what he did when, you know, when he was in service, but what he did after. And they're not happy with him. There's a lot of vets that are not very pleased with him. Exactly what that's all about, it has to deal with POWs and bills that he passed and different stuff. Well, they're not happy with him. They don't feel he's his understanding. Now, I kind of, you know, I mean, I guess I can understand where they're coming from. I mean, they would know better than me. But when John McCain is talking about saying that waterboarding is torture, it's like Hank Aaron when he's saying that if you criticize Obama, that's racist. Well, if anybody knows what racism is, Mr. Hank Aaron, you know what racism is. And criticizing Obama for crimes that he has committed, high crimes, treason, that's not racism, Mr. Aaron. And Mr. McCain, you of all people do know what torture is. You can't raise your arms in the air because of torture. Waterboarding is not considered torture. Sorry. Torture is designed to inflict pain. Enhanced interrogations are designed to extract information. Now, if you got to do it over and over again until the son of a bitch breaks, so be it. But we did break him, and we did find some information out. That's what we need to do. And once we get all the information out, we squeeze these bastards dry, we try them, we convict them, we hang them, and we bury them. That's what we do. That's what we do. These people, we shouldn't, Taliban 5 should not have been alive, first of all, to be traded. And why George Bush didn't try a lot of these before he left, I don't know. He should have. They should be tried as me. As soon as you got all the information out of them, you need to be tried. Oh, we don't have any charges. They got to have rights. We got to bring them into court. They need lawyers. No. You're a terrorist. You attacked our country. You killed our citizens. If you want to get yourself a lawyer, well, you're going to pay for it. You can get them if you want to, but it ain't going to mean a damn thing. We're still going to hang you. And let's do it already. Let's show them that, you know, who we are. We're not going to put up with this. But if we allow the terrorists to keep attacking us, we allow the immigrants to just keep coming over, we allow the president just to make up laws as he goes along, erasing all the other laws that he doesn't like. Committing treason by allowing our enemy to attack. Well, see, he had to make sure that Al-Qaeda got those 400 surface-air missiles. So he had to give them time before he, you know, sent anybody in. So he waited, what, 3 weeks? And then he sends in the FBI. Meanwhile, CNN has already been there and gone and collected a whole bunch of evidence. CNN. The FBI comes in after CNN. The FBI. Well, I'd like to know why there were no troops that night. That's what I want to know. Falling off here. But why were there no troops sent that night? Look, if you get there too late and the fire's over, oh well, then you pick up the pieces and clean up the mess. But if you get there and there's still fighting going on, well, then you kill them. And you save whoever you can. That's what you do. And then once the fighting's over and you've won, well, then you clean up the mess. You secure the area. What you don't do is go upstairs and eat. That's what you don't do. You were AWOL. Look, you were a deserter. You and Bergdahl, you're the same. You both were deserters, so that's probably why he freed them. You know, I guess they've got a brotherhood now. And old Bergdahl's daddy, I guess he's a pervert. I think I've talked about that. Did you hear about him? He's a pervert. He's out there spying on these twins on his route. He's a, what was he, UPS driver, FedEx driver, truck driver of some sort, delivering packages or something, I don't know. But on his route, he's spying on these girls. He's peeping in there where the one girl was taking a shower, playing it off with the cops, and, oh, they're just, you know, this and that. Well, I mean, what's the deal with this guy, man? Then he dresses up like the Taliban, and, I mean, look, I understand these people, you know, they kidnapped your son, but your son went looking for him, and you told him to do it. I mean, and then he dresses up like him. I just don't, and Mama, what the hell's the matter with Mama? Mama, can't you say something? I mean, are you, whatever. If she might be in fear, okay, fine, that is her son, her husband's a creep, a pervert, her son's a deserter, joins the Taliban, daddy dresses up like a Taliban. Maybe she's got nobody else. Maybe she's got no family. She's got nowhere to go. Maybe she doesn't work. I don't know. I don't know the story. I don't know. That's the only reason why I cannot feel sorry for her. I want to. I really do. But when she's going to live with this and know this stuff, I mean, she's got to be a part of it. She's got to be going along with it, I guess. I don't know. I'm just sick of that whole story already. Well, anyway, where can I find this? Where the hell is it? I know I got it in here somewhere. Damn, John McCain here. Can't find him. Here it is. This was on, of all days, Memorial Day in 2013. John McCain went on a secret trip. It was secret, top secret. A secret trip to Syria. Remember when he met them? They were moderates. Oh, they're moderates. I've met them. They're great people. Oh, they're wonderful. I've met them. What does that mean? You meet somebody, that means they're nice? They own a milk and honey farm? Well, he goes on a secret trip to Syria to meet with these people, the rebels, ISIS, Al-Qaeda. That's who they are. Oh, but they're moderate Al-Qaeda. Moderate Al-Qaeda. Ain't that a hoot? Well, he gets on there and takes a picture with them. Well, now that they're out there using this now for propaganda. ISIS now, they've got our American weaponry they stole from the Iraqi army. Which, I mean, and now we want to spend billions more to go train these people? Train them to do what? Drop your weapons like the French? We can't be spending any more money with these people. And if we are going to spend the money, you know, with these people, we need to spend it wisely. We're just spending money. Well, okay, fine. Spending money is spending money, but if you don't spend it wisely, what's the point of spending it? You do more damage than if you don't spend anything at all. We don't help these people. We don't do anything with these people but kill them. We don't give them weapons. We don't make any deals with them. We don't have conversations with them. And the only conversation, if you absolutely positively do have to have a conversation with them, this is the conversation. Do you surrender? If they say yes, okay, fine. Give me your weapons. Get over here. You're going to go to jail for a while. If they say no, okay, fine. They die. Period. We need the world together, and we need to bomb, 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 shoot, 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 do whatever we got to do. We need to wipe these people out everywhere. This is a disease. This is bigger than AIDS, bigger than cancer, bigger than any of it. The Black Plague, it's bigger than the Black Plague. It's huge. It's all over the world. And if we don't stop it, the world doesn't stop it and stop it now, well, then we're going to be it. You ladies, get ready for your, you know, can't go out there to the beaches anymore in your little short shorts and your little bikinis. Shaking that ass. You can't do that no more. Now, personally, I don't want to live in a world like that. I'm not going to comply. Well, we've got to eradicate this. We've also got to eradicate a whole bunch of other tyranny going on in this country. So, yeah, we've got a lot of work to do. We've got a lot on our plate. Can we handle it? I do believe we can. We're Americans. We can take this on. We can take all of these fights on, but we have to fight it. And that's the trick. If we don't fight it, we're never going to win it. So that's what we got to do. All right, I want to thank everybody listening here tonight, everybody on their smartphones, everybody's going to download later. It was a beautiful day today in sunny Deer Park, New York. It's Friday night. I feel great. I'm all energized. I'm not going to sleep at all tonight. So everybody have a very happy and safe weekend. We'll see you back here Monday night at 8. Goodbye, everybody.